Hey everyone, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm so grateful that you're here. My heart feels just so incredibly filled with gratitude and joy, and so I'm just really happy to be together. I will mention before our meditation that we'll be starting with Chapter 31, so just go to the beginning of Chapter 31. I will reread the three paragraphs we read last week, and then we'll read another one, and then we'll start pausing and discussing after that. I did want to say also thank you everybody who took the time to read my long open letter to the course community. Some of you left comments. I appreciate those comments. It's by far and large been very people have been very receptive to it. Of course, there's been other folks have had a lot of resistance come up surrounding it, and that is expected. But I gave a talk today at Jennifer Hadley's Sunday service on the healing power of listening and how, that's really the spirit of my letter, is that we need to listen. Those of us in white bodies need to listen and listen deeply to the experiences of people who are in brown and black bodies, other people of color, because they have been really pointing for us to see something for a very long time. And I feel like that time has come, that many of us are feeling really ready to do this work. So I just wanted to thank you all for that. And
Corinne, yes. If I can just say, because I was on that Zoom meeting.
Oh, great.
That missed that. It was absolutely fabulous. And it's well worth someone's time to go see that. It's healing on many levels.
Oh, thank you, Jana. Thank you for those words. I'm pretty sure, I know it streamed live to Facebook, but I'm not sure which of Jennifer's pages, and I don't know that they keep the replay there. I know it's livingacourseinmiracles.com/Sundays for Sundays with Spirit. I think that's the URL, and I'm pretty sure I know you can access the replay there. I'm sure it's not posted yet, but if I can find out if the replay is on Facebook, I will share that link. So thank you, Jana. Deeply listening, that's where healing comes from. So let's begin our time together today with coming into a brief meditation. We seem to be in separate bodies, in separate places, having these separate experiences. And yet let's all turn within. Let's turn within, bringing our minds to turn to Holy Spirit. And let's give Holy Spirit our willingness to see blocks to love in our own mind that need to be seen and exhumed so it can be healed. Let us give our willingness to Holy Spirit to extend love in all of our interactions. We don't have to do so alone. We just have to be willing. And we offer that willingness to Holy Spirit. And let us be willing to be taught to remember that only the truth is true and nothing else is true. And let's offer Holy Spirit our willingness with open minds and open hearts and hands that are open to receive and not closed to take. We are open. We are willing to be used to be a vehicle for love and light in this world. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge by our request. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. I just want to say yay. That's what's on my heart. It's a big yay. So as I mentioned before our meditation, for those of you maybe who just joined us, welcome. We are going to begin at the very, very beginning of chapter 31. We read a few paragraphs last week. I'm going to just reread the first three paragraphs, and then I'll read the fourth, and then we'll pause, and we'll start talking from there. So I was just feeling moved to do this since it's a brand new chapter, and this will help us just refresh our memories from where we left off. So let's begin. In the CE edition, it's called The Final Vision, The Simplicity of Salvation. How simple is salvation? All it says is what was never true is not true now and never will be. The impossible has not occurred and can have no effects. And that is all. Can this be hard to learn by anyone who wants it to be true? Only unwillingness to learn it could make such an easy lesson difficult. How hard is it to see that what is false cannot be true, and what is true cannot be false? You can no longer say that you perceive no differences in false and true. You have been told exactly how to tell one from the other and just what to do if you become confused. Why then do you persist in learning not such simple things? There is a reason, but confuse it not with difficulty in the simple things salvation asks you learn. It teaches but the very obvious. It merely goes from one apparent lesson to the next in easy steps, which lead you gently from one to another with no strain at all. This cannot be confusing, yet you are confused. For somehow you believe that what is totally confused is easier to learn and understand. What you have taught yourself is such a giant learning feat, it is indeed incredible. But you accomplished it because you wanted to and did not pause in diligence to judge it hard to learn or too complex to grasp. No one who understands what you have learned, how carefully you learned it, and the pains to which you went to practice and repeat the lesson endlessly in every form you could conceive of them, could ever doubt the power of your learning skill. There is no greater power in the world. The world was made by it, and even now depends on nothing else. The lessons you have taught yourself have been so overlearned and fixed, they rise like heavy curtains to obscure the simple and the obvious. Say not, you cannot learn them. For your power to learn is strong enough to teach you that your will is not your own. Your thoughts do not belong to you, and even you are someone else. Who could maintain that lessons such as these are easy? Yet, you have learned more than this. You have continued, taking every step, however difficult, without complaint, until a world was built that suited you. And every lesson that makes up the world arises from the first accomplishment of learning. An enormity so great, the Holy Spirit's voice seems small and still before its magnitude. The world began with one strange lesson, powerful enough to render God forgotten and his son an alien to himself. In exile from the home where God himself established him. You who have taught yourself the Son of God is guilty. Say not that you cannot learn the simple things salvation teaches you. And I'll pause there. This is good stuff in that, I mean, my gosh, it's, again, I spoke to this last week, but it's speaking to this ability of learning that we've used to learn, to teach ourselves falsity, to teach ourselves what is completely a lie, which is this world. And we sure as heck do believe it. So we taught ourselves to learn, which is not an ability that we need in truth, that we need in heaven, but we taught ourselves this ability to utterly convince ourselves that this is real. And it says, where did it say? You have continued taking every step, however difficult, without complaint until a world was built that suited you. And every lesson that makes up the world arises from that first accomplishment of learning. So this is speaking, again, on a more formless level about our decision to separate, to seemingly separate from God, to put part of our mind asleep, to be dreaming of this crazy world. And yet, it's saying that you use your ability to learn to teach yourself what you're not. You use your ability to learn to give yourself amnesia. And you're saying, we're saying then that this course is hard or that truth is hard, that this seems so difficult. But in our repurposing, again, of our ability to learn, what I loved where it said, I'm trying to find it, it may have been last week, that gently we're led from one lesson to the next. Yeah, it was in paragraph 2. It says salvation merely goes from one apparent lesson to the next in easy steps, which lead you gently from one to another with no strain at all. So our lessons, once we've turned to the Holy Spirit, which we've all have done, the lessons that are coming forward for us now are here to help us relearn that which we used learning to forget. So it's this undoing of what never was to come to recognize that which has never changed in our minds. How about we read another paragraph? Learning is an ability you made and gave yourself. It was not made to do the will of God, but to uphold a wish that it could be opposed and that a will apart from it was yet more real than it. And this has learning sought to demonstrate, and you have learned what it was made to teach. Now does your ancient overlearning stand implacable before the voice of truth and teach you that its lessons, so Spirit's lessons, are not true, too hard to learn, too difficult to see, and too opposed to what is really true. Yet you will learn them, for their learning is the only purpose for your learning skill the Holy Spirit sees in all the world. There it is. That is our absolute guarantee. What the Holy Spirit sees for the world is our learning to return home. That's it. Every single step that we take as we walk with Holy Spirit is a step to remembering that which is still in our minds. So ego would say that this is way too hard. Like, look at this. Look at all these problems that the world has. Look at all, you know, all the many, many, many problems. Like I've been talking about racism, et cetera, everything. It all seems insurmountable when we're looking through the ego's eyes. And yet, as it said earlier in paragraph number 2, once we repurpose everything, give it to Holy Spirit, we're now led from one lesson to the next in easy steps which lead us gently from one to another with no strain at all. We are led to what we need to look at. We are led to what we need to heal. And with Holy Spirit beside us, these things are guaranteed because our healing is the only purpose that the Holy Spirit holds in its mind for the world. So our success is a guarantee. No matter what we're feeling, no matter what's going on, only the truth is true, and we are waking up to that simple and profound fact. Any comments or questions so far?
Hi, Corinne. It's Nikki. How are you?
Hi, Nikki. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have two questions. So when the ego is, you know, going on and it thinks it knows everything, and it's saying, oh, you know, don't trust in the Holy Spirit. You gave that wonderful prayer that we use, you know, I'm not at peace, so I must be choosing wrong, right, over and over and over again. Oh, I keep giving it back. So twofold questions. One, when you're giving it up to the Holy Spirit and you're like, okay, I know I'm choosing wrong, I'm uncomfortable, is it just a waiting it out game and keep giving it up as you anytime you notice new thoughts? And the second is, if you have any other practical ones, you know, even if I learn one new every week, I'll take it. I'm into the whole, like, okay, what do I need to do in my daily life to apply this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's your question. What do you need to do in your daily life to apply?
So is there another technique you have besides, or another prayer, or another something besides, you know, I'm choosing wrong, Holy Spirit, you know, help me to see it differently, or I give this to you, Holy Spirit. Is there another good tidbit that you have that I'll take? And then also when you are doing that first one, you're like, okay, here, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, but you're still in a lot of discomfort. Is it just a waiting it out game? It's not game, but it's
gotcha.
Just like, okay,
right.
Wait it out. Yeah.
Right. Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. So to answer your second question about, like, is there another prayer or another technique? I mean, honestly, Nikki, have you done the lessons yet? Are you working those at all?
No, just whenever they come up, like in the Sunday workshop for Circle of Atonement.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So
that will help them.
You're going to love the lessons whenever you feel called to begin those, because those are giving you practices every single day to engage with and to, you know, work with in terms of whatever is present for you in your life and, like, the thoughts that are coming up. So whenever you feel called to begin those, I think you're going to love them. So that's 365 tools and techniques. That's a complete package right there with the workbook. And, you know, if you're not doing the workbook, I mean, I definitely, you should. Like, you absolutely should when you feel the time is right for you, because it's all about, it's a mind training program of unlearning and then relearning. So, unlearning what's false and, you know, learning what is true. And literally the workbook walks you through that step by step. So in the heat of the moment, though, what always matters is that you're talking to Holy Spirit, turning to Holy Spirit, whatever words it is that you're comfortable with, and that's always the key. So whatever the prayer is, whatever the words are, it's always the important piece is always about turning to the Holy Spirit, because we can't get out of this ourselves. We don't know how. As I've said on other occasions, we don't know how to love. We don't know how to forgive. We don't know jack. And so the Holy Spirit in us, though, does. And so that's our small little part, is to keep turning to the Holy Spirit. Now, that ties into your other question about, you know, there's the discomfort. Like, you keep noticing things coming up. What do you keep doing? Do you just keep handing it over and handing it over and handing it over? That question is a good question. And, you know, there have been times when I have needed to be a little repetitive with handing something over, and yet there is a section in the Manual for Teachers that says, should healing be repeated? Meaning, do you need to endlessly say, Holy Spirit, here you go, here you go, here you go? It says no. It says healing doesn't need to be repeated. It only needs to be done once. and the answer is immediately given. Now, like you said, there seems to be a waiting game because sometimes there seems like there's a long gap between our willingness and our handing something over until, like, we get a shift or have a different perspective or, you know, something, some kind of answer comes to us. In those instances where we're just like, okay, nothing's happening, that's where I will kind of try to look at what's happening. This is how I say, like, looking at the ego through the back door, looking at it sideways, like, rather than just looking at the issue head on and being like, hey, you know, Holy Spirit, I'm giving this to you, I might want to go in the ego back door and say, okay, what's the benefit of me hanging on to this? What's the benefit of me still worrying about this? Is this a reflection of my unwillingness to heal? You know, because that, if I can get honest about that, where I am unwilling to heal, benefits to the pain can be, you know, part of this sort of digging. That often helps. And I've previously talked to you about how important it is in my journey for me that when I am stuck with something and I've handed it over and things keep swimming around in my head, that would be a time when I will get my journal and I will dump every icky thought, every fear thought, every emotion, everything, I will dump it onto that paper to get it out of my head. And there have been times when I've written down whatever the issue is, and I will say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm handing this over to you. I'm writing this down. This is a technique for all of us. If you find yourself that you keep picking it up, write it down on a piece of paper and hand it over to Holy Spirit by symbolically, like, putting that piece of paper in a drawer or behind, you know, like, on a shelf or in a box. And if you find yourself worrying about it again, you got to go pick up that piece of paper and hang on to that paper. Like, you can only worry about it when you have that paper in your hand. And it gets kind of exhausting of, like, going back and picking up that little piece of paper every time you start worrying about it. And that's like a – that's not necessarily a course technique. That's kind of more of a therapeutic thing that you might try with a client in counseling. But it was useful for me. I was finally like, I don't feel like walking over there again to pick up my worry, so I'm just going to let it go. So that's something that was helpful to me in the past as well. So does that give you some ideas?
That is amazing, Corinne. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good, good, good. I'm so glad.
Thank
yes,
you for being my
Corinne,
sister.
The prayer you mentioned uh-huh. the other day went something like this: teach us not how to make this an obstacle to peace.
Uh-huh.
I think it's one of the most beautiful and most applicable prayers I've heard from you all as long as I've been talking.
Well, it's not from me, it's from the Course. It's so powerful. Kate, I'll say it again just for everybody, just for a reminder, and this applies, again, to anything that we are seeing with our body's eyes. Take this from me, and we're talking to Holy Spirit. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate its coming. In other words, to facilitate peace's coming. That's one of my favorite Course prayers because, I mean, my gosh, how when we look out into the world and see so many painful things, our body's eyes and our limited mind can't help but see, you know, make it real, to see the reality, to see the pain. And so that prayer, take this from me and look upon it, we're asking what we are seeing to be repurposed, again, to help us wake up. So thank you for that reminder, Alan. That's one of my favorites.
Sure. Hey, Corinne, it's Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
Hey, I just have a quick question off of Nikki's comment. I sometimes feel like when I keep handing things over to the Holy Spirit, and then, for instance, right now I'm living with my mom, and, you know, she really does get on my nerves, and we've had to work through a lot of problems, and I sometimes find myself, like, praying over it all the time, and then I'll go into the kitchen and just snap, and then I'm going back into my room and praying on it again, and I think sometimes what happens is I just feel
my ego comes up and kind of points out to me, like, look, you can't learn, just like we were talking earlier, like, look how difficult this is for you, or you're not figuring this out, and there's that guilt. And I'm wondering if you could speak to that and how to get rid of that when you do feel like you're coming up on blocks and not being able to get rid of something.
Yes. So I have the perfect course quote for you. Write this down and put this on your wall, and I want you to look at this. Every time something goes down and you snap, and then you later are like, you know, that those ego thoughts are – because all that is when we lose it, when we snap, and then we, you know, retreat into our rooms and we go into, oh, you know, I'm not getting this, I'm not doing it enough, or I'm not doing it right, I'm not progressing, I'm blah, 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 blah. All that is the ego trying to reach up and pull you back down into its basement. That is all it is. So here is your course quote, and I want you to put this in a big, you know, very, very visible place in your room, wherever you're going to see it most frequently. A happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. I'll say that again. A happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. Guilt is always the ego. That is it. And so even if our lessons are painful, even if our lessons involve us attacking our brother or beating ourselves up or whatever painful situation it is, a happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. The whole aim of this pathway is the undoing of guilt and fear. It's for us to recognize our complete innocence. So any voice that creeps up, that is rising up to tell you that you're guilty, you know, that you're bad, that you're not progressing, that you're not letting it go, imagine what happens if you say to that voice, a happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning, or if you look at that voice with compassion and just say, oh, there you are again, ego. I see you. And you know what? No thanks. I'm not going to beat myself up this time because I am learning. My lessons are my lessons, and it is all good. So that is your course quote to remember. A happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. Just reminding yourself, no matter what, you are not guilty. And I always picture Paula used to always say on the calls, and I don't know if you've said this lately, Paula, but not guilty. And then I always in my head hear like a gavel, you know, like a judge just like clapping down on a table. So not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. And guess what? If you're not guilty, your mom, your brother, whoever it is, they're actually not either. So in this guiltless practice, it's a practice of releasing both of yourselves from guilt. You are both doing the absolute best that you can. It's hard living home, you know, with family under these circumstances. It's stressful. And so can we just give ourselves some room to be exactly where we are? It's okay. Does that help, Courtney?
Yes, not guilty. I'm going to say it over and over again.
Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty.
Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney.
And page 90 is another real big help when it comes to that whole guilt thing. And that's page 229 in this complete and annotated edition.
229 in the CE?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Paula, I have to tell you, I don't know if I'll ever remember that, so thank you for remembering page 229, because page 90 in the FIP edition is forever, you know, kind of burned in my brain. So FIP, page 90, CE, page 229. This prayer, I'll say this one out loud. Yeah, and Paula, I'm so glad you brought this up. This is like such a great reset button. This is the prayer that says, I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. So I want to repeat that again. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. And I choose to let him. The final sentence is, I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me. In the CE, I know it uses some slightly different wording, but its meaning is essentially the same thing. So that's another beautiful, beautiful prayer. Thank you for that, Paula.
Corinne, can I actually add a little bit to that? Because one of my favorite lines in the whole Course in Miracles is the one above that.
Please go for it.
Remembering that the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation.
Yes. What a beautiful reminder. What a beautiful reminder. I'm turning back.
That helps me. Because sometimes I'm not very willing, but I'm willing to be willing. So my slightest invitation,
there you go.
Rush in.
That's it. I want to say that again. The Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. Jana, thank you for highlighting that. Our willingness need not be complete. Actually, this is a course quote. Your willingness need not be complete because his is perfect. So our willingness doesn't even have to be perfect. It just has to be tiny, 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 tiny smidgen. Oh, thank you, Jana.
Corinne?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Christy. I have a question about that. So when it's talking about undoing the consequences of your wrong decision, does that mean, I'm trying to reference that, I get caught in how I want it to show up in the external, you know, in the dream. And is it referring to that as well? Or is it referring to just being at peace no matter what happens? Or both?
I think it's both. I think it's peace for you and for whoever else is involved. I think it's undoing the consequences even in, you know, the dream, because miracles collapse time and they collapse matter. Like they literally undo. So it's both of those. The Holy Spirit can undo it all. Yeah, right? That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, especially in relationships when, you know, especially now being at home with our families and when things come up and wanting it to be different.
Right?
Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for that question. That was awesome. Great question. Let's go ahead and read paragraph number 6, which is, I think, where we are at, right? Are we starting with his simple lessons in forgiveness? Is that where I left off? I think it is. All right. I'm going to start there. If I get it wrong, somebody let me know. His simple lessons in forgiveness have a power. Yeah, we did start here. Okay. His simple lessons in forgiveness have a power mightier than yours because they call from God and from yourself to you. Is this a little voice, so small and still, it cannot rise above the senseless noise of sounds which have no meaning? God willed not his son forget him. And the power of his will is in the voice that speaks for him. Which lessons will you learn? Which outcome is inevitable, sure as God, and far beyond all doubt or question? Can it be your little learning, strange in outcome and incredible in difficulty, will withstand the simple lessons being taught to you in every moment of each day since time began and learning has been made? I have to read that one more time. That was just so beautiful. I'll slow it down this time. Which outcome is inevitable, sure as God, and far beyond all doubt or question? Can it be your little learning, strange in outcome and incredible in difficulty, will withstand the simple lessons being taught to you in every moment of each day since time began and learning had been made. I love that sentence. It's a long sentence, but oh my goodness, it's saying, can your little learning, can the tiny little mad idea of the ego possibly be the outcome when the voice for God, literally the voice for God, is here speaking to us in every moment of the day since time began and learning has been made? All of us are going to hear this voice if we have not, you know, I'm talking about like the whole world, like all are called and a few choose to listen, and the few that are choosing to listen are growing and growing and growing. So in all of us, in every single person is the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit calling to them, waiting, just waiting for them to hear, and they are being called in every moment of each day since time began and learning had been made. Wow. We certainly are not alone. Let's read another paragraph. The lessons to be learned are only two. Each has its outcome in a different world, and each world follows surely from its source. The certain outcome of the lesson that God's Son is guilty is the world you see. It is a world of terror and despair, nor is there hope of happiness in it. There is no plan for safety you can make that will ever succeed, that ever will succeed. There is no joy that you can seek for here and hope to find. But this is not the only outcome which your learning can produce, thank God. However much you may have overlearned your chosen task, the lesson that reflects the love of God is stronger still. And you will learn God's Son is innocent and see another world. Oh. Again, this is just so powerful. The certain outcome of the lesson that God's Son is guilty is the world you see. So when we look out and see our brothers as guilty, when we are condemning and pointing the finger, that outcome is the world you see. And you know what was bubbling up for me at the moment that I just want to address, just putting that statement in context of my letter, because I'm prompting those of us in white bodies to really do some really deep looking and exhuming of hidden and unseen racism. And that can sound on the surface like, oh, you're making me guilty, lady. Like I had a couple people write and say, like, you know, this is, I feel really, really guilty about this. There's the course, I don't remember who said this, if this was somebody who said this on this call. It could have been somebody on this call. You're not guilty, but you are responsible. So in other words, we are not guilty. We're wholly innocent, but we are responsible for making this world, for the world that we see. So there's a responsibility there to be able to look at the ego's tactics and bring them to the Holy Spirit, bring them out for healing. So by no means is what I'm saying, you know, in the letter about making guilty. It's about taking responsibility for the hidden, very, very, very hidden thoughts in our mind. For those of us in white bodies that have a hard time seeing this, because in my own experience, it's like a thick, thick veil that keeps coming down, and you have to constantly, you know, be willing to work to see out of it. That's the responsibility piece. So I just wanted to, that popped into my head, so I figured I'd throw that out there. I just love how it says, no matter how much, however much, you may have overlearned your chosen task. So even though this feels so real to us, even though I'm so identified with Corinne right now and believing that I am this body, the lesson that reflects the love of God is stronger still. When we experience those miracles, those lessons, when our difficulties fall away, Paula, you're coming to mind with just how like smoking fell away so easy for you and all the stories that everybody has shared on this call. When you experience those healings and that recognition of the love that is right there for us to see, that is stronger than all of this compulsive overlearning that we've had to do to possibly convince ourselves that we're not the Son of God. The miracles are stronger. The lessons, the love of God is stronger still. Hallelujah. Thank goodness. Oh, anybody want to share?
Corinne.
Anything coming up or any questions? Jana, then Cheryl.
I'm sorry, who?
Jana, you can go first, and then Cheryl.
Yeah. I just want to mention, because it kind of segues into what you were just saying about your letter and what you're sharing about racism. And I had a big aha today. I've been behind on the Circle of Atonement, the Course Companions group. So I used today to kind of catch up. And so I was reading in the CE edition, Cameo 21, titled, You Do Not Realize How Much You Hate Each Other. Mm. And that can certainly apply to family, friends, all of that. But it struck me on how much that applies, at least how I was viewing it. I think how the Holy Spirit helped me see between races.
Mm.
And how we don't realize how much we hate and fear each other. And I just would like to read this part because it really struck me, because I've never had consciously any racist viewpoints. I have been a bit baffled, not in, you know, wanting to necessarily resist, although there has been that, but just not in understanding. And then it hit me when I read this. So I encourage everyone that has the CE edition to read the Cameo 21. It talks about the only way we can get rid of the hatred is to first recognize its full extent. Only then will we see just how ugly it is. And only then will we understand that the hatred itself is the problem. Until then, we will think the other person is the problem. And so they will want to. And so we will want to get rid of each other and keep the hatred.
Wow.
And so I think it just, to me, that's what really helped me understand, whether it be the way I look at my daughter, my friend, my coworker, or trying to understand racism, is this: I do not understand how much that egoic part of me hates and fears someone else. And unless I look at that and recognize it, it stays buried and cannot be healed.
Thank you for that, Jana. I will definitely reread that Cameo with that in mind. That's really helpful. Thank you. Cheryl, I think you're up next.
Hi.
Hi.
I think I had my volume down really low, so I hope you can. I hope it's at a good level right now where you can hear me. Okay.
Yep, you sound great.
Thank you. I want to go back to what you were just saying about what we're reading tonight. Now, do you think that there's, I don't even know how to phrase this question, but do you think that there's any obstacle to that learning with someone who has post-traumatic stress syndrome?
So I'm sorry, I'm not clear on your question. So somebody has PTSD, and what is the question about them?
with what
I want to make sure I'm understanding.
With what we're reading, it applies to what we're reading tonight. Because it sounds like it's saying that, you know, it should be this very simple thing for us to learn and to unlearn what we taught ourselves before, which I think about post-traumatic stress syndrome because it's kind of this learned pattern with PTSD where, and I'm not an expert, but where the mind teaches itself to have this volume turned up on like the survival mode. And I think that survival mode is like kind of like a where it's constantly judging, is this safe? Is this safe? You know, is in like going through the world kind of like looking for the hidden dangers because where the mind trains itself to look for those things because of the trauma. And so you see where I'm going with this? Like,
Yeah, I gotcha.
Like,
I'm with you.
Is it possible for, or is that an obstacle, or is it, or, you know, what is being taught in the course apply to those of us who've had, like, lifelong struggle with post-traumatic stress
trauma.
Syndrome and,
Or PTSD,
yeah.
You're also just making me think, too, like, I mean, what you said can also apply with the overlearning of, you know, unhealthy coping mechanisms that maybe kept somebody alive but then turns into a disorder.
Yeah.
All of the disorders, the mental health disorders, are like, you know, overlearned behaviors, in some cases, you know, behaviors that were perhaps developed to protect oneself, but then it, you know, gets out of control. The first thought that came up is that there is no order of difficulty in miracles. So PTSD is no more of an obstacle than is anxiety, than is a paper cut, than is cancer, than is any of it. It's all, there's literally no order of difficulty in miracles. So even if it feels like the PTSD has been there forever, even if it feels like the anxiety or the depression or whatever has just been there and entrenched forever, there is no order of difficulty in miracles, because as we shed layers of lowercase s self, as we start to, you know, loosen our grip on our small self identity, because these disorders become part of our identity. You know, anxiety was very much a part of my identity for many, many years. PTSD, our diagnoses, the labels, the patterns of thinking and behavior and emotions, it can all become part of what makes Corinne, Corinne. So as we start to recognize that, like, okay, you know what, Corinne is probably always going to have these issues, but what I'm learning is that Corinne is not who I am. And we then start to step into this recognition that, you know, I've been calling myself Corinne, but this is not who I am. You know, we're all something much greater. So that PTSD is not an obstacle to any of this, as is any other difficulty.
So it doesn't matter, like, if the – because I do a lot of reading and studying up on, like, the brain and how the brain plasticity can change according to, like, trauma. So, you know, I love what you were saying about there's, you know, because, I mean, I've been a course student for 5 years, and it's done amazing things for me. And so I feel like, you know, I believe that it can change you, but I always wonder if I'm stuck with the way that my brain had changed in the direction from the trauma, if I'm like, and I know I'm sorry everybody for going so personal, but I mean, I've had this question for so long, I just wanted to ask it, you know.
Yeah, I'm so glad you did. I'm so glad you did. And the answer is no, that you're not limited by the brain. There are circuits in the brain that are just firing really well in terms of, like, the trauma circuits, you know. And A Course in Miracles, I am positive, changes the brain. There's not been any studies, but let me tell you this, that I don't know if you know the work of Dr. Dan Siegel. I forget exactly if he's a neuropsychologist or what his exact field is, but he said, now, I'm full disclosure, I might be taking his quote and making different meaning out of it than what he said, but what he teaches is that there is no, what I've heard him say at least, there's no consensus about what the mind is in the psychology field. We always talk about it, and everybody assumes it's just part of the brain. He was the first scientist that I heard say, and he said that this is going to be like a, you know, oh my gosh, like he's going to drive some scientists batty. He said the brain responds to what the mind is choosing. Wow. So take that in for a second, all of us. The brain responds to what the mind is choosing. How Course in Miracles is that? When we choose with our minds, when we choose to turn to Holy Spirit, when we choose, you know, to learn the truth that has never changed, our brains and our bodies respond. And at the highest level, at the deepest level of the teachings of the Course, by the way, this podcast will be coming out sometime, hopefully later this week. When I did that session recently with Nook Sanchez and Kieran J. Gardner, our whole gathering was focused on the idea that the body doesn't have to die. It can dematerialize because the mind that is projecting it chooses to stop projecting it. And so the body can dematerialize. And there's more. This is what Nook's whole second book coming out in July, I'm so excited, is about. And so if the body can dematerialize, and if you listen, I recommend everybody listens to this session because listening to, you know, what Nook teaches is just really incredibly powerful. It seems unbelievable, but that's exactly why we're talking about it, because this is a seed that needs to be planted. So if that's possible, and Jesus, you know, he undid the dream for all of us, then of course, you know, these smaller things that feel insurmountable, they're not. The brain can respond, the body can respond to what the mind is choosing. It does not follow that we can beat ourselves up or judge ourselves or anybody else if there seemingly, you know, is some difficulty still there, but just really, really remember there are no order of difficulties in miracles ever, across the board, without exception.
It reminds me of what you said about the what was it, the 4 or 5 minute mile?
Yeah.
Like
once
you know it's possible. I feel like that's I didn't even plan on asking this tonight, but now that I asked you, it's like kind of like blowing my mind, and I'm like, wow.
Yay.
So now that once I know that's possible, then what can stop me? Nothing.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yes. Thank you. And that applies for all of us. We know, we have to be able to see and know that it's possible, and it is, and that gives us that permission. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Yay.
Thank you, friend.
Thank you. And I share that 4 minute mile story, which you'll hear on the podcast with Nook and Kieran Jay. So that's awesome. We're almost at the top of our time. Yes. We're gonna pause reading for tonight. So who is this?
This is Carl.
Oh, hi, Carl. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, good. Corinne, I'd just like to get your take on the sentence here in the paragraph you just read. It says, there is no joy that you can seek for here and hope to find. And I'm kind of reminded of comments that Alan Watson made in The Workbook Companion. Are you familiar with Alan?
Yes, I don't. I've not read any of his stuff, but I'm a little familiar.
Yeah, him and Robert Perry did The Workbook Companion.
Yeah.
And he said at one point, he said that the course said the body is a communication device.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, geez, you know, that's really, considering all the the kind of harsh comments that the course makes about the body, you know, it was kind of a relief to see that, you know, the course said the body is a communication device. So I'm wondering, you know, considering that in mind, you know, just what's your take here on this sentence? There is no joy that you can seek for here and hope to find, if you might have some insights on that.
Yeah. So anything, if we're looking for our happiness in any way here in the world, nothing is ever going to fulfill us in the way that we are looking to be fulfilled. We might feel temporarily happy. We might feel, you know, good for a little while, but that feeling is going to fade. What we are looking for over and over and over in every circumstance where we're trying to find happiness here, whether it's, you know, oh, if I get that job, then I'll be happy, or oh, if it's a different relationship, it, you know, move to a different house, go on that vacation, we're looking for the peace of God. We're always, always looking for God, and that is the only thing that is going to satisfy us, because when we start to know the peace of God within us, then everything we do becomes joyous. You know, every step, every walk that we can take, you know, going outside, each thing that we do, it all becomes a meaningful encounter with God. So it's like, it's reverse, you know, like we think if certain things in form happen, then we'll be happy. But what's really happening is that when we find God, we're happy, and then we can love and enjoy everything that we do while we're seemingly here, because we know we're not doing it alone. We know where our peace and our happiness comes from. So that's where we start to see the real world, which is the happy dream, and that's bringing us closer and closer to shedding more and more layers of self and coming to remember fully the truth. So did that help, Carl?
Yeah, it does. It does. It reminds me of, Marianne Williamson would have said that, that the world is an illusion, but she says it doesn't mean that within the illusion that it can't be beautiful.
Right. And we see, that beauty, we're really, really in tune with it when we feel the peace of God in our heart first.
Right.
It's even more
beautiful. And of course, you just remind, I think it's lesson 185 says, I want the peace of God. And, you know, many have said this, but few actually mean it, you know, the Course says. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is a challenge, you know, to,
mm-hmm.
so,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yep.
But
you
reminded me of that because, you know, I agree that's what we're all seeking is the peace of God.
Yep,
so.
It sure is. Thank you for asking that question.
Thank you
and
for your answer.
Yeah, thank you so much. So we are at the top of our time together, and I am just so grateful for all of you to be walking this pathway home together. So I love you, and have a great week, and we'll see you in a week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Karen.
Good night.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. What was that?
Night. Where did we end?
Where do we end? We just ended after paragraph 7.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.